CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and glad that you tuned in with us today. And I want to talk to you today about having an ordinary day with Jesus at work. And I know a lot of times you hear the word work, and you're like, oh, that's a four-letter word. It makes you think of profanity and things. But you know what? Actually, work was created by God. And I'm hoping today in just our 14 minutes together that maybe you will give a different look, outlook, maybe a different perspective of your job, your vocation, and how maybe God, you could honor God with that, and most of all, see where God is working in your workplace. First thing I just want to ask, and this is based off of something that John Ortberg did about 15 years ago that I really, really was blessed by, and I think it'll bless you. But first question John Ortberg asked in this program this that he put together was, why do we work? And first of all, because we are made in the image of God. And John chapter 5, verse 17 says, my Father, Jesus said this, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. How about that? If you remember correctly, Jesus was a carpenter before he started his ministry. He didn't start to the age of 30. And his ministry lasted for 3 years. And, of course, he changed the world and changed where we spend eternity if we're willing to humble ourselves and admit that we need our Savior. We need a Savior, and that Savior, of course, is Jesus Christ. But you know what? I mean, Jesus himself had a job. Can you imagine being a carpenter back over 2,000 years ago? Didn't have electricity to just plug in the equipment. Then couldn't go down to Lowe's and get the 2x4s already ready for you. Yeah, we'll take 100 of those drywall pieces, picking up that. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, being a carpenter was a really, really tough job. And so yet God had his one and only son, Jesus, do that up to the age of 30 before he let him start his ministry. So I want you to realize that you're not cursed because you work. Second thing is that work is a blessing. It's not a curse. Okay? It is a blessing. I want you to think about all the things that you learn when you have a job. You learn about how to get along with other people. You learn how to work as a team. You learn how to forgive people. If you've got a great boss, a great leader, you have people that bring out the best in one another. You have to learn to be selfless. You have to sacrifice. There's so many things that go on in work relationships. And then one of the great blessings is a lot of times you get really good friends out of the places you work. I know that I've had several jobs through my 52 years of life. And one of the guys that I worked with from the age of 24 to 26, two guys, that were basketball coaches with me, assistant coaches at Western Kentucky University, Tom Crean, who was Indiana's head coach until unfortunately he lost his job last year, now does ESPN commentating. Tom and I still text quite often. Jimmy Christian, who I worked with as an assistant coach at Western back in the early 90s, is now the head coach of Boston College University. And I just went and saw his team play the University of Louisville in late January, and he gave me tickets right behind the bench, and we text. And so I still have good friendships from people that I worked with over 20 years ago. And so just I want you to make sure that you catch yourself not to complain that you have to go to work, but that you get to go to work. And if you've got a job, you're blessed, because obviously there's some people right now that don't have jobs. One of the ways that you can change your perspective about work is just the way you begin your work day. John Ortberg encourages us to ask God to make you effective and successful in the work that you are doing. Because you know what? When we do that, when we do our jobs with excellence, it honors God, because God is a God of excellence. Now, I want you to hear me now. I didn't say God is a God of perfection. I said God is a God of excellence. And so I want to encourage you, before you step foot in your workplace, before you make that first phone call, if you work from home, before you respond to that first email, to ask God to help make you effective and successful at whatever work you're doing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not people." That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. I have some friends, Pat and Steve Smith, that have a business, and they had that scripture up on the wall in the main entry way of where a lot of their team works there. Colossians 3, 23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not people." Another thing that you should think about, I would encourage you asking God before you start your work day, is just ask God to partner with you throughout the day. I know several times when I've had meetings, when I was a territory sales manager for Hershey Chocolate, or when I was an entrepreneur and had my own business, a supermarket up at Cynthiana, had 100 people working with me, and had some difficult meetings with employees or maybe some companies that we bought from, that I would ask God to join me in the meetings. And sometimes I'd be meeting with a couple of people and it would just be me. And yet I want to remind you, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you have the Trinity: the Father, which is God; the Son, which is Jesus; and the Holy Spirit. And so I would say, "Father, God, I need you. I need Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be with me as I get ready to go into this meeting." And then it made me feel a little more confident and have more peace, because there was those three plus me, that gave me four. So even if I was meeting with three people, then I still had them outnumbered 4-3. So I just want to remind you to make sure that you look at how you begin your work day and ask God to partner with you, and to know that you're not alone, especially if you're working from home. And a lot of people do that. If you're in sales and you're out traveling, ask God to partner with you, and ask the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit to join you. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit to be with you. Another thing about work that is a blessing from God is that it gives you opportunities to look to do just simple acts of service. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For the Son of Man," which was Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I mean, think about the last thing that Jesus did before he was arrested, before he went to pray, and he had dinner with the guys that he did life with, his 12 best friends, the disciples. He washed their feet. He served them. And friends, there's no better way for us to be like Jesus. There's a lot of ways that I make mistakes and I'm not like Jesus, but we all can help serve one another. Maybe it's as simple as if you're going to the coffee break room to get something to drink, "Hey, can I get you something to drink?" Copies to make for somebody. You've got a coworker that's a single parent, and you know they're working upon a deadline, and maybe you don't have to be anywhere right exactly after work, and you're like, "Hey, I can finish that project up." There's so many ways to do simple acts of service to people, and you're never more like Jesus when you do that. And the way we can show people Jesus is not just by telling them, but really more importantly, by letting them see Jesus in our lives and letting God use us to be the hands and feet of Jesus by serving others. Another thing we learn from work that really stretches our faith, but is we have to learn to deal with difficult people. And, you know, I got news for you. I heard Joyce Meyer say this one time. You know, we all have people that are sandpapering our lives, usually, especially times, people that we work with that just kind of rub us the wrong way. Then in the next breath, she said, "Well, I got news for you. Guess what? You're somebody's sandpaper." Now, I know that all of you, we think we're like, you know, nobody. I don't rub anybody the wrong way. I mean, man, I'm perfect. And everybody could just be perfect like me. But, you know, the bottom line is that even Jesus said, "Woe is if all people speak well of you." In other words, that, you know, we're not going to get along with everybody. We should try to, but not everybody's going to like us. And so you have to be able to learn to work and be able to cooperate with difficult people. And I know that doing that in my 30-plus years of working, from jobs when I was 16 all the way up now to where I'm 52, that it's increased my prayer life greatly by having to work with challenging people, learning to love them just like Jesus does, because as we talked about at the beginning of our program, we are all made in the image of God. another thing that we learned from working with people and a way to just see an ordinary with Jesus in our workplace is learning how to receive feedback well. You know, Romans 12:3 gives us a lot of wisdom. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with a measure of faith that God has given you. That's Romans 12:3. And I tell you, one of the things I've really noticed a lot about our culture, nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes to have authority over them, yet God is a God of authority. And, you know, there's so much research done that, like, you have to give, like, 10 compliments for every one criticism you give people if you're a boss or something. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, if somebody says something to you and about your job performance or whatever, just receive it in a God-honoring way. And, you know, maybe 80% of it's not true or accurate, but maybe there is a 20% part of it that maybe you could do differently. I've found in my life that when I've been corrected or called out on things, sometimes that I've had to look, even though I didn't feel like it, and just simply say, Lord, show me if there's a nugget of truth in that, something I need to learn from. And most every situation, there's always been something that I could learn from when getting feedback, or if, especially if it's criticism. And you got to be humble, like Romans 12:3 talks to you about. Another great way to have an ordinary day with Jesus at your workplace is make sure you take some mini breaks. Man, get up and stretch, get away from the phone, get away from the computer screen, take a 3-minute break, kind of clear your head, walk around a little bit, talk to God, talk to Jesus, just ask him where he's working, ask him to help give you peace, help you to love other people unconditionally like he loves you. And we can't do that if we're just grinding it 4 and 5 hours straight. Now, on the flip side of that, some of you may need to work a little harder. Maybe you take advantage of the 15-minute breaks at work, and you come to work late, you leave early for lunch, you take too long with lunches, and that's not excellence, and it doesn't honor God. I want to encourage you to not take advantage if you have breaks and at your workplace, especially if, you know, those are not monitored. And last but not least, in an ordinary day with Jesus, with your work, John Ortberg, and this really wonderful study that I did about 15 years ago, he says, when you end your day, why don't you reflect on what you've done and just say, God, show me where you were working today. And I know in all our days, there's always some good. In fact, just before I started this program today, somebody sent me a text that had listened to one of our programs. And I want to remind you, you can listen to our podcast, whatever's convenient for you, of our live programs on Life 99.1 FM by simply going to our website. That is hopeishere.today. Also, there's a place there for you to make donations. If you've been really blessed by this program and God has blessed you financially, which this radio airtime was free, and website and podcast and all those things, but there is a cost. And if you want to make a donation, you can go to our website, hopeishere.today, and on the homepage there, there's a place over on the right just to donate, and it's a secure line there, and would appreciate any donation that you can make, or maybe you want to become a monthly partner of Hope Is Here. But the person sent me a text and said, hey, I just listened to one of your programs, and man, it really blessed me. In fact, something you said gave me goosebumps, gave me chill bumps, and I know that was God speaking to me through your program. So, man, I just love what God's doing, and you've got to reflect on those things because they're always good things, but yet I go back and listen to our podcast too and always say, oh, I wish I would have said this differently, or my English wasn't proper. And yet, I want to encourage some of you not to be so hard on yourselves. And then last but not least, just ask God to help you work diligently the next day. Just say, Lord, help me to sleep well. And then tomorrow when I go into my workplace, help me to honor you with all that I do. And just know that God wants to do that. He wants to be a part of your workplace. And I close with Romans 15:13. The verse we based Hope Is Here on, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13, and that is Hope Is Here.